As you know, if you've been here with us on Sunday mornings in this hour, in the last few weeks, you know that we are looking at the Gospel of John, and we're seeing how the Lord was in his final hours in his earthly ministry. It was just a few hours until his earthly ministry, effectively his earthly ministry, would be over. He would be arrested and crucified. He's speaking to the 11 saved apostles. He chose 12, but one of them, Judas Iscariot, was not saved. He's called the son of perdition, and the devil used him. The devil indwelled him and came in and possessed him for a time, and he submitted himself to that evil work, but God used it for good, and Judas was not a saved man, sadly. He is in hell today, but the other 11 were saved, and they were being prepared by the Lord for the trials ahead, for the ministry that God would have for them after he ascended back to heaven. And we see those final statements that the Lord is making. He's referring to this work that was done. And I asked the question, and we could ask it, how had they come this far? What had God done in their lives? And God, of course, called them, many of them, out of a career of fishing. And they were fishermen, many of them, up in Galilee. And he called them out of that. He drew them away from the life that they had crafted for themselves, and he fitted them to become fishers of men. And so as I think about all that God had done up to this point, the night that Christ was betrayed, and all that God would do in their lives, I think about how that happens, and what had the Lord done to prepare them? How would they continue to follow him in the future? What would keep them going? What has the Lord done in your life? And no doubt you've been through trials. You've been through hard times. And I don't want to dampen the mood today, but you're going to go through more. You're going to have more. And in many ways, the trials you and I have already been through are not as hard as the ones we're going to go through. And that could be depressing to us. That could be a downer. But the same Lord that prepared the apostles is the Lord that wants to prepare you. And how are we going to be prepared? How are we going to be faithful in those trials and in those times? It's a very simple message today, but I think the basic things can sometimes be overlooked. How are we going to be prepared? How were these apostles prepared? Well, we have to follow Christ. We have to follow him step by step. He went through the deepest trial, and he doesn't call us to go through that trial of crucifixion and paying for the sins of mankind, but we do have to follow him. In Matthew 11, 29, he calls his listeners physically, who were there listening to him speak the words. He's also calling us by these words. Matthew 11, 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." If you learn of Christ and you follow him, you'll work with him, you'll serve him, but you'll have rest in your soul. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10 say, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And the Lord didn't say those words about his apostles, but I think he very well could have, because that is God's will for all of his saints, to walk worthy of the Lord, to increase in knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding, to be fruitful in every good work. How can someone do this? Maybe there are saints today. Maybe some of you would say and admit, sadly, that you struggle to walk worthy of the Lord. What is your walk with God? How does that look? What does that look like? Do you walk with the Lord every day, or do you only sometimes, and you try, but only sometimes do what God wants you to do? You often fail to take Christ's yoke upon you. Maybe there are some here who know that they are lost. Do you know that you're lost? Do you have eternal life? Maybe you're interested in following Christ. Maybe you've heard these kinds of expressions, follow the Lord and salvation and walk with God. Maybe you've heard these expressions before, but you're not really sure what they mean. Maybe you've never heard anything like this before, and it's all new to you. This morning, I want to point out some things from John 17 about how to follow Christ. The Lord is preparing his apostles to follow him, and not just follow him physically, but he's going to ascend back to heaven, and they need to follow him in their daily life, follow him spiritually, continue on the ministry that he has started here, and they need to follow him. And he's preparing them and showing them some things, revealing some things to us, how that happens. Let's pray, and then we'll consider these basic truths, these simple truths about how to follow Christ. Lord, would you speak to us and help us to see the importance of following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a mantra. It's not just a buzzword, a cute cliche that we use and doesn't really mean anything. It is a lifestyle. It is a daily, conscious, intentional, purposeful way of living. And it's wonderful. But there are sacrifices that come along with it. And Lord, we cannot fully understand the spiritual ramifications of it. If we could see into the future and see the blessings that are in store for us, if we will be faithful to the truth and obedient to it and faithful in following the Lord, I think we would have no trouble being motivated, have no trouble seeing the value of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But you haven't given us that glimpse with our eyes. Instead, we are called to trust your word. I pray that you would help us to be receptive to the word of God today. Help us to believe it and to follow you by faith. I pray that you'd work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. John 17, we're going to start in verse 1 and read the first 9 verses. John 17, verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's life eternal right there, to know God. Do you know God? Verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." 3 simple thoughts for you this morning on how we can follow Christ, how you can follow Christ, how you can continue to follow Christ, how you can start following Christ. 3 very simple things, but they're very important. They're foundational. And in fact, if you don't have these things in your life, you won't follow Christ. You cannot follow Christ. It's impossible. First, you need to hear Christ's words. Let's read verses 6 to 8 again. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." There's so much here, and it's amazing to me how how God is, God's word is so rich, and what the Lord is saying here, there's so much depth to it. We can't possibly talk about it all, but I think it's powerful. The Lord says in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. To manifest means to make visible. The Lord is saying, I have exposed and made visible God's name. Well, how did he do that? He did that through his life. He showed what God the Father looks like. And you say, well, that's just God's name. God's name tells us a lot about him. God chooses his names carefully. And you study God's names, you find a lot of help, a lot of conviction on your sin, and a lot of good truth that will change your life. Christ is saying, I manifested God the Father's name unto the men. I have revealed that through my life. And these apostles, we know, they left all and they followed Christ. Peter mentions that in Luke 18:28. We've left all. We followed you. They had heard him teach and preach and give comfort and instruction day after day, year after year. They had heard what Christ had to say to them, and the Lord is saying this. I taught them. These things I have been giving them for the last 3.5 or so years. They had heard Christ's words, but many people had not. Many people didn't want to hear Christ's words. If you're going to follow Christ, the first thing that you need is to hear his words, and of course, you won't hear them with your ears. You won't hear his voice in your ears. But you do need to know God's word and see Christ's words in the scriptures. Look at Luke chapter 4, and we see people in this chapter who did not want to hear Christ's words. These 11 apostles had, but many, many more people did not want to hear Christ's words, and they did not follow him. And this is true today. Many people do not want to hear what God has to say. They do not want God to speak to their heart. They might permit themselves to be under the sound of the preacher's voice, but they do not want to hear Christ's words. And what a terrible condition that is to be in. Luke 4, verse 28, it says, the Lord is reading scripture in the earlier verses of this chapter. And then he's explaining to them what this means and how the scripture in Isaiah is fulfilled in Christ being there that day telling them about this. It was a prophecy that he fulfilled at that moment, at that time in history, and they didn't want to hear that. Verse 28, it says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. They didn't want to hear that he was the Savior. They didn't want to hear that his words, that a prophet is not accepted in his own country. They were filled with wrath, and they didn't want to endure that. They didn't want to permit that to happen. John 6:60 tells us about others who didn't want to hear Christ's words. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Boy, I don't know about this. I don't think this is what I want to listen to. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, people of our time will permit to listen, permit themselves, and be willing to listen to truth as long as they like it. And then there reaches a point where the Lord says something to them out of the Word of God, and they say, this is a hard saying. I don't want to hear this anymore. And they depart. You can't follow Christ if that's your attitude. You have to hear Christ's words, no matter what it says. In John 8:48, we see the Jews also with this same attitude. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? You are possessed. This is an evil spirit speaking. You are not a real Jew. This is not what we want to hear. They didn't want to hear Christ's words. We like to pick and choose. We like to go to a buffet, don't we, and eat? What's so attractive about a buffet? Well, you can have as much as you want. Maybe that was your first answer. Another answer is you can choose and eat whatever you want. Here's all the food, and you get to pick your favorites. We like to approach the Bible that way. I'm a very spiritual person. I read the Bible every day, and you know what? There is so much in here that I like. Well, what do you do with the stuff you don't like? Well, I try to ignore that. I try to excuse the fact that I don't obey it. I just try to not think about it. That's the same attitude that these Jews had. You can't follow Christ with that attitude. You have to hear Christ's words. Why won't people hear Christ's words? In John 8, verse 57, it says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." "I am God," is what he said to them. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." He was not going to permit himself being stoned to death because he needed to die on the cross. But they wanted to. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear his words. Why won't people hear Christ's words? Why won't you hear Christ's words? Well, people don't want to hear because they aren't interested. It doesn't really do anything for me. I'd rather go out and pursue something out there. They don't want to hear because they are too busy. You know, a later time, when I have a convenient season. Not now, though. I'm too busy. Because another reason that they won't hear Christ's words, they are too proud. Will you expect me to believe this? You expect me to believe that Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God? Yes, I do, because the Bible says he is. You expect me to believe that I can't work my way to heaven? Well, yes, I do, because the Bible says that's true. You expect me to believe that my religious life is worthy? I deserve to be punished in hell for all eternity? Yes, I expect you to believe that, because God's word says it's true. Well, I just don't like that part. I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, I like this part over here. That's the exact attitude that so many others have had, and you can't follow Christ with that attitude. People don't want to hear Christ's words because they are too self-righteous. I'm not going to humble myself. You don't know who I am. You don't know the kind of life I live. I am very pious. I am very devoted, very devout. Read in Acts chapter 10 about a man named Cornelius. You probably would have a hard time reaching his level of spirituality, and he was just as lost as the most wicked person you know about. People won't hear Christ's words because they are too selfish. It will cost them too much. Jesus said, "Follow me," and others said, "I will as soon as I, do these other things first. I will follow you." Well, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a place to call home. I don't have a house to live. Oh, well, okay, that cost me too much. You have to give up your plans. Well, okay, I guess I'm out. You have to give up your own independence and let the Lord guide you and choose everything for. Well, okay, I guess I'm out. You have to be willing to endure persecution. Well, that's too much for me. It costs too much. They're too selfish. Hear Christ's words. Read the scriptures. Don't turn away. Don't resist what God has to say in his word. It's the first step in following Christ. He says in Matthew 11, 15, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." If you will hear Christ's words, that's not all that's required. We're gonna get deeper here, but it's the first step. And so many people, they won't listen. They resist it. They find something they don't like, and there might even be someone here right now tuning me out. I don't like this part. I'm just going to shut it off, turn my ears off, and I'm just going to endure the rest of this hour. They might be doing that right now. Don't do that. Hear Christ's words. I'm not giving you my wisdom. I continually point you to the scriptures because it's what we need. Hear Christ's words. Secondly, if you're going to follow Christ, you need to receive Christ's words. In John 17, verse 8, Christ is praying to God the Father, and he says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They heard it, and I gave it to them." And then what did they do? "And they have received them." You know, this is something we talk about when it comes to telling others about Christ, telling others about the gospel. You can talk at people. And many people are too polite to just slam the door in your face. Not everyone. But many people are too polite to do that. And so they maybe put a polite look on their face and they just kind of stare blankly and let you talk at them. They're not receiving what you have to say. They might be listening, but they're not receiving it. You might be listening very politely right now. I might look at your face and think that you're actually receiving. You might be very polite and be an actor. But that's not the same as receiving. To say, I'm listening and I welcome this. I am asking for, I'm opening my heart up. Please, Lord, speak to me. You need to receive Christ's words. The Lord says, they, the apostles, they have received the words which God the Father gave Christ. You know, you won't receive what you refuse to hear. And many people in their heart, they tune God out. They won't go back to that place where they hear the preaching. They won't read God's word. They won't hear it. And you can't receive what you refuse to hear. Receiving Christ's words requires a humble and willing heart. And again, sadly, this is not like so many of the Jews. So many of the Jews did not have this humble and willing heart. And we might say, you know, I think if the Lord lived today, the world would call him a failure. Because for all of his miracles, he reached the end of his earthly ministry. And how many did he have with him? 11. And the 12th was at this moment in chapter 17, the 12th was out there seeking his betrayal, bringing a mob to come arrest him. You spend 3.5 years or so ministering and healing, and all you have is 11 apostles. That was his church. And of course, there were more believers than just 11. But that's not much of a movement, Lord. You're not very successful here. I mean, just look at all these mega churches, all these people that, you know, they can gather a much bigger crowd in a much shorter amount of time. Well, so many would not receive Christ's words. And of course, Christ wasn't a failure. Salvation is the greatest success that there could be. And many were saved. And his, if you want to call it a movement, it's the Baptist Church. Scripturally, many people can call themselves Baptist. Many people can have the word church on the building. It doesn't mean that biblically that's what they are. But you follow what the truth of God's word says, and we see it has continued to thrive and flourish and continue ever since Christ ascended. But so many of the Jews rejected Christ. They refused to listen. They refused to receive his words. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and I'd like you to put yourself in the place of these Jews, because you and I have the same tendencies as they did, to refuse to hear, refuse to receive. If you're going to follow Christ, you must receive his words. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He asked good questions, but he would not receive what the Lord gave him. He did not follow it. He did not say, this is what I asked for. This is what I need. I'm going to obey. He didn't do that. He rejected it. He walked away and resisted what the Lord said to him. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So many in Jesus' time and ever since, so many have refused to receive what Christ says. You give time to studying the Gospels and studying what the Lord said and what the Lord did. God will speak to your heart if you're willing to receive it. Luke chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. They'd already determined in their heart, we're going to get this guy. We're going to resist him. We're going to find something to remove him over, to destroy him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Very simple question. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? The Sabbath was the Lord's day. It was a day to not work. No work. Work was prohibited on the Sabbath. And yet, the law does say that if your animal, your ox, your sheep maybe, your donkey, whatever, if it falls into a pit, falls into a hole, its life is threatened, you can pull that animal out on the Sabbath. If someone is hurt and injured and their life is being threatened, they need help, they need someone to do good for them, you can help them on the Sabbath. It's okay. It's not work. It doesn't violate God's word. And he asked this question of the Pharisees. Here's a man who has a withered hand. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? And they wouldn't answer him. He, and looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. This is so illogical to me. It's astounding. Here is a man who does not violate the scripture. He asks a simple scriptural question, and they refuse to answer. Their heart was already turned away. And then he tells the man just to lift out his arm and stretch out his arm, and his hand is restored. Who can do that? Only God. And they didn't celebrate this. They didn't admire this. They were filled with madness. And they tried to find a way to destroy him. They did not receive his words. And you might say, well, that is completely illogical. I would never do that. People today still have the same illogical attitude towards God and his word. Look at John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. How do you follow Christ? You have to hear his words. You have to receive his words. But if your heart is determined to believe and follow what you have already chosen, and you're not going to let anyone tell you different, you're guilty of the same issues that these Jews were guilty of. John chapter 10, verse 24 says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? See where the blame is? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Sounds like a good question. It wasn't asked sincerely. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Have you noticed what I've been doing? But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal security. If you're saved, you are always saved. You can never be lost again. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of those works do ye stone me? You don't like what I'm saying, but look at what I've been doing. Don't actions speak louder than words? We have that phrase. And they said, we don't have a problem with your works, but it's your words. They wouldn't receive them. Many people today do not receive Christ's words. You might think that you like the idea of God. You think you like the idea of what God's word teaches, but when it gets right down to it, when God puts his finger on your sin, puts his finger on your pride, puts his finger on your lack of faith and your unwillingness to follow him, you won't receive. You and I must have the attitude of Peter. In John 6, verse 67, it says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" So many were leaving. They were deserting Christ. And he says to the 12, "Are you going too?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Not only are we just listening, we're receiving, and it only makes sense because God, Jesus Christ, has the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? You're the source of that, he's saying to the Lord. You and I need to have this attitude. You need to hear Christ's words. You're not going to follow the Lord if you don't. You don't read the Bible. You don't put any time into it. You come to church once in a while or even not that much. You're not going to follow Christ. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't convince yourself you're a Christian if you don't hear Christ's words. Don't convince yourself that you're a Christian if you don't receive them. They're the words of eternal life. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There have been no sinners who are perfect. No one following Christ is perfect. That's not the standard. That's not the goal. But you can follow Christ as your lifestyle. This is the trajectory, the direction of your life. You can follow Christ, but you have to hear his words. You have to receive them. These are the words of life, the eternal life. This is what I need. I'm not going to listen to that other secular voice out there. I'm not going to follow my own opinion. I want to follow this. Nothing else matters. You have to receive his words. And lastly, you have to believe his words. And the Lord gives us this progression. Look back at John 17. John 17, verse 8. I told you this is very simple, but we can overlook and forget about the simple sometimes. John 17, 8, it says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." You have to believe Christ's words. Throughout his earthly ministry, over and over and over, he is telling them who he is. He is showing them who he is. He is teaching them about God's words and about God sending him, and they had to believe it. And you and I have to believe it. Look at Matthew 16. Christ was continually telling others about who had sent him. I think it's a wonderful thing to see his emphasis on being submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants, right? No, he is submitted to God the Father. He demonstrates the kind of life that we ought to live. He is subject to his own character, and his character is what is the basis of the law and the truth of God's word, the directions for our life. Matthew 16, verse 13. Then when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are they saying about me?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," or Elijah, that's the New Testament rendition of Elijah, "some Elias, and others Jeremias," or Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter and the others had heard Christ's words. They had received them. This is important. I need to hear this. I need to know this. They had received them and they believed them. And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father which is in heaven revealed it to you." You must believe Christ's words. You must have faith to be saved. We use the word saved and salvation a lot around here. We're talking about being rescued from the penalty of sin. And I don't know you very well, perhaps, but I know that your sin has a very definite and very extreme penalty in store for it. Your sin deserves that penalty, but you don't have to pay the penalty. Christ can pay it for you. You can be rescued and saved from that penalty for your sin that you deserve. But you have to believe Christ's words. You must have faith in order to be saved. To believe is to have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And people today are familiar with faith. I know what that is, Pastor. Why are you drawing this out? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10. You must believe Christ's words. And I'm amazed, actually, at how often people say they believe and maybe even think that they believe. They it's not just a lie they're telling. They actually truly believe. They are convinced that they believe Christ's words, but they're still lost. They don't know what it's like to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know what it's like to know for sure that they're going to heaven, that if they were to die right now, they know without a shadow of a doubt that they would be in heaven with God. They don't know what that's like. They don't know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. They don't know what it is to see the fruit of the Spirit come out in their life. They don't know what it is by experience to see God use them and help them and empower them. They don't know what that's like. But they think that they believe Christ's words. There's confusion about this. How can you have the faith to believe Christ's words? Romans chapter 10, Paul is talking about Israel, religious Jews. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God's chosen people need to be saved. Religious people need to be saved. Devout people need to be saved. People who love God need to be saved. For I bear them record, I can verify that they have a zeal of God. People who have a zeal of God need to be saved. How is that possible? Because it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They don't really see, they're ignorant. Ignorant doesn't have to be an insult. It's just saying you don't know. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. I just don't know. People are ignorant of God's righteousness. Oh yeah, God's righteous, you know, he's God. No, you don't understand. You need to see sin the way it really is. You need to see that God is completely holy and set apart from all sin, anything that defiles. This is not just someone who is bigger and stronger than us. This is someone who doesn't have any flaws and never has had a wrong thought, never has spoken a wrong word. This is a righteousness on a scale that we don't easily understand. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. And as a result, and as a separate issue, they are going about to establish their own righteousness. Well, I don't see how righteous God truly is, and so that makes me think that I can be righteous because I don't see it. And so I'm gonna establish this. You've heard the phrase, a big fish in a small pond. And people can have an inflated view of their own abilities because they're not around anyone who is actually good at what they think they're good at. You think you're a good singer, but all you do is hang around, you know, yourself out in the woods. You should get around a good singer and you'll understand maybe you're not a good singer. We think we're righteous. Well, you should look in the Bible and see what God's righteousness looks like. You'll stop trying to establish your own righteousness. You'll say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. That's what you'll say. That's what Isaiah said when he saw God. But these Jews were ignorant of that, and so they went about establishing their own righteousness, and because they're so busy trying to be good people, they didn't submit themselves to God's righteousness. They didn't say, there's only one way for me to be righteous in God's eyes, and that's to have Christ righteous. I'm going to quit trying. I'm going to quit trying to establish my own because it's impossible. How can you have the faith to believe Christ's words? You have to receive what he says. And you have to say, I give up. I'm done trying to establish my own. As long as you try to establish your own righteousness, you're not receiving his words. You're not believing his words, and you're not saved because you're trying to work your way to heaven. It can never work. It can never happen. Look at verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You believe on Christ, when Christ came and he died, he proved that you don't have to keep the law to be righteous. You just have to believe on Christ because you and I can't keep the law and be righteous in that. We must have a sacrifice for our sin. We must be washed, and it must be by grace, because it can't be by works. That's what God's righteousness shows us. That's what our sinfulness proves. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live them by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. This is what we need to be seeing, not these other things. The word of faith, that which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation comes in the heart through faith. Confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can you have the faith to believe Christ's words? You must stop trying to establish your own righteousness. You must call on Christ in faith and repentance. You're only going to do that if you've heard his words, if you've received his word. This is what I need, this. And the more that you think about it and meditate on it, the more you say, that's what I need, that's what I'm going to believe. Listen to this verse, these two verses in John 1, verses 11 and 12. Speaking of Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. We've talked about hearing Christ's words, receiving Christ's words. They received him. He's one of us. This is the Messiah. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This word power means authority. If you do not hear Christ's words, you cannot be saved. You have to hear them. You have to receive them. This is for me. This is what I need. And often salvation is a process for people. The first time you hear these words, usually people don't get saved the first time they hear it. You hear it and you say, boy, I don't know about that. What am I going to think about that? I think I need more of that. And the more that you hear, the more that you say, you know what, this is true. This is about me. What am I going to do about this now? I know that I'm lost. You have to believe. You've heard, you've received, but you have to believe. And the Bible says here in John 1, as many as received him, this is who's been prophesied about. This is the Son of God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You still have to believe. You still have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And you might say, well, I know that faith is required, but I'm lacking. I know it's all true. I've heard Christ's words many more times than I can count. I know it's the word of God. I know it's what I need. But how do you have how do you have enough faith? Some people would wonder about that. I want to believe it, but I'm not sure I can. What now? Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Don't miss this verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not sure if I can trust God to save my soul. I'm not sure if I can trust God to give me victory over this sin. I've struggled with it so much, it just seems like there's no hope for me. I don't think I can trust God to take care of me. This physical situation is so impossible. I'm not sure I can trust God to take care of that relationship issue. No matter what you need faith for, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you saturating your mind with the word of God? Are you receiving it, saying, this is what I need? You know, I feel pretty powerless right now to just be mighty in faith and go on and step out. I want to be there, but I feel so impotent and unable. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Meditate on God's word. Saturate your thinking with the word of God. Hear and receive. Listen to it. Listen to preaching. Guide your thoughts in truth. Read the scriptures daily, hourly if you need. Listen to what God has to say. Receive it, and God will work in your heart. How do you have enough faith to be saved? You say, this is what I need. I don't understand it all. There's a lot more to learn. But I know enough to know that these are God's words, and I want them. I am going to open up my heart. I'm going to welcome them in, and God will give you help to believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You have to hear. You have to receive. Faith is what's necessary for salvation. And when you really believe on what the Lord has said, repentance is going to go right along with it. No one is saved simply because they say, oh yes, you know, Jesus came and died, and I want to be saved too. You can't be saved unless you're willing to be honest about your sin. And you have to turn away from that. That's repentance. But if you're going to follow Christ, you must hear his words and receive his words, and believe his words. The Lord Jesus Christ was busy in the Father's work. He still is. He still is God and busy working. But while he was on the earth, he was busy in the Father's work. He called his apostles. He taught and prepared them. He commissioned them to continue his work after he ascended, and they followed Christ. And so can we. God can use your life. I don't know how many years we have left on this earth. You might have just a few. I might have just a couple. But we can use them to follow the Lord. But it won't happen automatically. You must hear Christ's words. Read them. Listen to them. I wish the Lord Jesus Christ were here today preaching to us. I'd sit down gladly and listen to him preach. But his words are right here. Do you read them? Do you spend time in your Bible? Are you willing for them to contradict what you think you know? Do you receive Christ's words? Do you desire them? Do you meditate on them? Do you love them? Do you seek the Lord with all your heart? This is, I know it's true, and it's what I desire. Lord, I am listening. I'm paying attention. I'm throwing open the door of my heart, so to speak, so that your words can come in. And you must believe Christ's words. You must obey them. We prove what we believe and prove what we think with our actions. What do your actions reveal? Obey Christ's words. Keep them. Follow them. Heed them. This is how we can follow Christ. This is what the apostles had done, and the Lord is revealing that in John chapter 17. He says in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Following Christ is a very simple process, but it's not easy. Sometimes we overlook the basic things. This is how to follow Christ. Let's pray. Lord, would you work in our